Session 4, Working Out Your Salvation. I wonder if you can remember who famously said this: "I've had it. Anyone who sees me in a boat has my permission to shoot me." Of course, it was Steve Redgrave. He said it after he had just won his fourth Olympic gold. And perhaps you remember he then went on to win a fifth. Athletes give us an amazing example of the ability to endure and to press on. And it's often their attitude as much as any kind of natural gifts that makes the difference. Well, being a Christian also requires great perseverance, because like rowing, being a Christian can be very hard work. We might go through times where life is tough. We might think that progress in our Christian life seems so slow. Temptation can be really strong. And from time to time, we might feel like Steve: "Anyone who sees me heading to church again has my permission to shoot me." So here's the question: how can we make sure we keep going? Well, we're going to look at two verses together from Philippians that will help us to keep persevering. They're from Philippians chapter 2 and verses 12 to 13. "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." Last time we looked at this amazing hymn about Jesus. You remember it celebrated all that Jesus had done in becoming a man, dying on a cross for our sin. And it reminded us that God has exalted Jesus now to the highest place, that one day every knee will bow before him. These Philippian believers are Paul's dear friends. He loves them and he wants them to keep trusting Jesus and living for him so that they'll be ready for that day. And so here he encourages them to keep going. See at the end of verse 12, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." The first half of that verse contains his instruction to them. It's what they are to do. The second half gives the reason that they are to do that: for it is God who is working in you. What we are called to do flows out of what God is doing. And that's where we'll start. First then, God is at work in us. Now at the moment, Maidenhead feels like one big building site. Cranes are up everywhere. And just across the road from the St Mary's Church building, there's an old set of offices. And there's been a major renovation going on them. And beforehand, they were basically derelict. But then the offices were bought up, the contractors moved in, the banners appeared up on the side of the building with the future of renting all over them. The architects draw up detailed plans and then they're off. Bits and pieces get knocked down. The whole thing is gutted. And a year or two later, there's been this transformation from derelict offices to sparkling and rather overpriced flats. The plans have become a reality. And that's a good picture of how God works in the lives of his people. First of all, God begins a good work in us. We saw this back in Philippians 1 verse 6, where Paul said, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." It's a very humbling thought. Becoming a Christian isn't ultimately down to us. It's down to God. We may be moral, capable, but when it comes to the relationship with God for which we were made, naturally all of us are dead, like a derelict building with no life in it at all. Us becoming a Christian involves taking time to investigate the claims of Jesus. It involves making a decision to follow Jesus. But the Bible is clear that behind that decision lies God's work, bringing you back to life. After all, dead people can't do anything about being dead. There's a verse in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5 that puts it like this: "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. So if we're a Christian believer today, it's because God has begun a good work in us. But rather like that derelict building, our lives are not instantly transformed the moment we become a Christian. There are old sinful habits that keep coming back, all kinds of areas in which we still pay little or no attention to God. But wonderfully, when once God begins a good work in us, he has amazing plans for us. And so secondly, God is working to a plan. Rather like any building project, God works to a set of plans. You see that in the verse 13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. When God brings us to know and trust Jesus, he has a wonderful purpose for us. And that purpose is to transform us into the likeness of Jesus, to change our attitudes, to reflect his attitude of love and kindness, to change our desires, to reflect his desires of love towards his Father, to change our behaviour towards his behaviour of pure and spotless goodness. God's plans for us are literally glorious. But how does God do this work? How does he get from A to B, from derelict to glorious? Well, this takes us to our third little subheading. God is changing our desires. From the outside, it's easy to assume that the Christian life is basically a matter of duty. And so Christians grit their teeth and they get on with it. And you know, they do their best not to lie or to swear. They do their best to go to church and to be generous with their money. But it's a bit of a duty. When someone becomes a Christian, they realise the reality couldn't be more different. Because when God gets to work in a person, he changes their desires so that they themselves want to go his way. Can you see that in our verse? For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. He changes our wills, our desires. I think of a friend, John. Before John became a Christian a few years ago, he simply couldn't put work down. It had a kind of control over him. But he became a Christian, and he speaks of how he found that over time, he didn't want to put work first in his life anymore, but God. That didn't stop things from being a bit of a battle from time to time. He still got it wrong, but the difference was now he wanted to honour God with his work. And God will do that in 1,001 different areas of our lives too, changing our desires. But secondly, God will also empower our actions. And this is our fourth subheading. See, I may want to become an Olympic rower like Steve Redgrave, but that doesn't mean I'll be able to. And just because someone now wants to go God's way, that doesn't necessarily mean that they will be able to. And that's why it's such good news that God is also at work empowering us to act according to his purpose for us. Again, in the verse, it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. The Bible teaches elsewhere that it's God's wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit who gives us this power. He's a bit like a building contractor going about his work, except unlike most contractors, he's always present and always working. So then, how do we keep going in the Christian life? The first big answer is because of God's work. He has begun a good work in you. He's working to a plan, and he's changing our desires and empowering our actions to bring that plan about. Sometimes it's easy to look at your life as a Christian and feel a bit discouraged. You think it's such a mess. But remember, if you are trusting in Jesus, your life isn't dead and derelict. It's a building site. Of course, building sites are messy. But the big difference is that there is work going on, this work of transformation. It takes time. God might start with some big, obvious things in your life and over time begin to work on some of the deep issues in your life that lie under the surface at the moment. Well, he has this brilliant plan to change us to be like Jesus, and God will bring it about. And if we're not yet a Christian, it's important to realise the Christian life is not about willpower. Some people think I could never become a Christian because I simply couldn't keep it up. We need to realise, though, that it is God who promises to do the work in our lives, and he will do it if we trust ourselves to him. So that's our first big point about how we keep going. God is at work in us. But if that's all Paul said, it would be very easy to become complacent, perhaps to think, oh, there's nothing I can do anyway, so I'll just leave it to God. And that's why we also need our second point, which is this. God is at work in us. Therefore, we must also get to work. You see, the building site analogy breaks down at one crucial point. We're not buildings. We are human beings made in God's image with our own wills and our own responsibility. God doesn't just passively work on us. We are called to actively respond to his work in us. And that's what our verse says. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. Now, the point here isn't that we need to work to achieve our salvation. We've been seeing that's something that God gives us freely through Jesus. Rather, Paul is saying, don't go through your Christian life on autopilot, just expecting your Christian life to run itself. Instead, take the controls, take responsibility for your Christian growth. Take it seriously. That's what it means by fear and trembling. After all, it's a serious thing to have the living God working in you. So don't stand around, but join in with that work that God has started and promises to continue. Well, here are four areas where we might work out our salvation. First, working out your salvation will mean working hard at your relationship with God. Autopilot mode, well, we'll end up getting swept away in the busyness of life. Other things will always get in the way of our Bibles and praying and coming to church. That's what autopilot will do. Instead, we're to take responsibility. And that will mean deliberately setting aside time each day to read our Bibles and pray, persevering in it, even when we find it hard going, coming along to church Sunday by Sunday, being involved in a small group perhaps. Secondly, working out our salvation will mean working hard on our godliness. Again, cruising along in autopilot, well, we'll just end up adopting the same standards as the world around us. Instead, we're to take responsibility for our godliness. And that'll mean identifying areas of our life that are going against God's will in the Bible, seeking to change, perhaps seeking help from a friend. Thirdly, working out our salvation will mean working hard at our attitudes. Again, being in autopilot, you'll just end up adopting the same attitudes as the world. What's best for me? Instead, we're to take responsibility for our attitudes, and that will mean working hard to adopt the attitude of Jesus, as we've been seeing, considering others better than ourselves. Fourthly, working out our salvation will mean working hard at our priorities. Being in autopilot, well, we'll just end up being shaped by the world's priorities, money, power, pleasure. Instead, we're to take responsibility. And that will mean working hard to keep putting Jesus at the centre of our lives. That's not always easy, and it's not always straightforward. Well, all of this might seem like a massive mountain to climb, working out our salvation. Remember, we're not working for our salvation. We're simply responding to all that Jesus has done for us. And remember the motivation. God is already working in your life. You see, if it was just up to us, it'd be easy to despair and to give up altogether. But God is working. And so now it's as if he says, keep working hard on your Christian life, and I can guarantee that I will keep you going, I will keep growing you all the way to heaven. So how does a Christian keep going? How do we keep persevering? Well, we must remember firstly that God is at work in us. And since God is at work in us, therefore we must also get to work. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose.